Here's our eye in the sky in the Western Conference. From city to city, rink to rink, and boost to boost, he's the best in the West. Time for Pete Weber on NHL Home Ice.
Smith, a shot, rebound, score! Colin Wilson puts it home on the left pad of Kiprasov. 30 seconds in, they strike for a power play goal, and it's 2-1 Nashville.
That is Tom Callahan on the Predators Radio Network last night. Now, before we get to Pete, email here from Donnie. You can always reach us by email, htm@nhlhomeice.com, and get into this a little bit later on about the Islanders. He says, are they a good goal scorer two away from being a good team? They're near the cap floor. Why don't they trade some picks and pick up a good forward or defenseman or both? They have enough young players and good young players. I think that teams like Anaheim may be looking to unload for a few picks. Your thoughts? And by the way, Mick, he says, next time you're on a train, don't take that crap. He doesn't say crap, but you get it. When someone gets mad from an obvious mistake, it's jersey over the head and lights out.
That would have been something. I would have been jumped.
Would have been classic.
Yeah. I would have had to do the show with my one phone call.
That's right.
Sorry, the call's got to be for 2 hours. Is that all right?
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do you have an ISDN line here? Because I need to sound like I'm in the studio.
That's it.
Much the way Pete Weber has his line set up down in Nashville. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Very well. How you doing?
Outstanding, I guess. But I'm doing better than Pierre-Marc Bouchard is this morning.
Yes. Though, again, I don't think that there's supplementary discipline coming on that one.
He turned into it, didn't he?
He did, and it was right before, almost simultaneous with that. And if you recognize that language, it's because that's the explanation we've been getting all year from Brendan Shanahan. So I'm not overly concerned about that. In the Western Conference, how do you think Terry Murray's feeling right now?
Well, not very well. Particularly, let's just take a look at this. I don't think that was anything that was completely orchestrated by general manager Dean Lombardi. I don't think Dean Lombardi has someone that he is intending to fire get on the plane in Los Angeles, go to Boston, run practice, and then have that person do his meeting with the media and later that day dismiss him, which makes me think that was orchestrated from above within the Kings organization. And now, with John Stevens stepping in last night, maybe his last game behind the bench as the Kings head coach, everything, and because of the Predators yesterday being up close and personal with the Calgary Flames and, of course, Brent Sutter there, everything seems to be pointing to Daryl Sutter, after he signs his contract for his brand-new surfboard endorsement deal in Southern California, getting set to move behind the bench at Staples Center. Well, that is at least after the Kings close out what remains of a four-game road trip.
Yeah, but all these coaching changes.
It's unbelievable.
The first one in St. Louis, I don't see that bump we always talk about, that adrenaline shot. You know the cliche, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be a couple wins, and then we'll see what happens. No wins here, huh?
Yeah, no wins, and for the Kings, once again last night, no goals. So what is it now for them? Six goals scored in their last five games, and that's the bottom line. That's the raison d'etre for this move, right? Because they've got, as they figure, too much talent on that roster to have a club that is failing to score as much as the Kings have.
So I guess when it's all said and done, John Stevens gets the interim tag put around his neck, and based on last night, I'm not going to base everything on one game, but certainly not the start that he would be looking for if he wanted to be the long-term guy.
Yeah, particularly you're going against a Bruins club that, adrenaline picks up from other guys, but you don't have the big stoppers of Daniel Chara back there on D last night and facing that club and not being able to generate any more than the Kings did.
I also wonder about Daryl Sutter and the rumors that are circulating there and whether or not, we were talking earlier about whether or not he is the guy you want to bring into that room as the quote-unquote motivator, the guy who's going to kick these players into high gear.
Yeah, and listening to Dean Lombardi's conference call the other day, he's talking about, well, now the players will be accountable. He did mention, yes, they are accountable for the fact that Terry Murray is no longer head coach of the Kings, But you get Daryl Sutter in there, and let me see. Is Daryl Sutter the guy you think of in terms of fire wagon hockey, open things up and get things going? The thing he has going for him is a previous solid working relationship with Dean Lombardi when they were together in San Jose, though that was a little bit of a sour departure back then, but still there is the comfort level here that Dean has with Daryl. So to your question, I don't know who I do put in there right now, though I was talking yesterday with some friends that said that Mr. Keenan was on the telephone.
No, say yes. It ain't so.
Yes, Mr. No. Keenan was on the telephone, yes.
Yeah, you know what, and I always joke about that. The man's been here a couple of times. He's a gentleman to me.
Yes, he is.
And I always stress that. It's not a personal thing. But
you didn't like Nick and the Nice Guys.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I hardly like Rossi, right? But we get along enough. But I just, Keenan again, unbelievable. Why would they bring someone who, what's your philosophy with that? I mean, does he need that jersey for his collection? What else is there? Why would you bring Keenan back in?
Well, yeah, he is pursuing. I'm not saying he's being pursued.
Right.
That's, Mick, I would say that he is the coaching equivalent of Michel Petit in terms of number of teams.
Larry Hillman.
Yeah, Larry Hillman. Yeah. Guys. And if Larry had had more teams in his era.
That's right.
He would Mike be Sillinger. Right there also. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Okay, now, the Winnipeg Jets, as we speak, are not a Western team. They're going to be next year.
Yes.
As we know. But they seem to figure out how to beat the Minnesota Wild.
And not too many people have they?
What did they do? What's the formula? Should other teams have watched that game?
Well, you know, maybe so. And that's notwithstanding the Bogosian hit on Pierre-Marc Bouchard. But they played a pretty, as I've just seen the condensed version of the game so far, they played a pretty solid game. They got good goaltending from Andre Pavlik. And let's face it, sooner or later, the Wild had to lose, right? I think those two things ran together, and it came out with that, the cosmos worked out just right for the Jets last night. But the Wild, how many different people have stepped up for them when they have needed that? That's what's been amazing for me to watch. I mean, you always worry about your goaltending, number one. Hey, put whoever you want in there. I mean, Matt Hackett comes in. After having been called up earlier this year, just before U.S. Thanksgiving, when the Predators were up there, and that's after the 51-year-old Beer League goalie was back up in the first period. Josh Harding, obviously, has played very well for them, and so, obviously, Nicklas Backstrom. So they get tremendous depth and good performance from whoever they stick between the pipes, and scoring by committee has been tremendous for them. And I'm still amazed that they are doing this well without Brent Burns.
Yeah, no, agreed. Now, a little more before we move on about the Wild and the Jets. I've been out to Winnipeg a number of times. Never been to Minneapolis, St. Paul, at least not yet. But, you know, both those cities are kind of in the middle of nowhere. I think they would be perfect rivals for each other again. Can you see that when the Jets move to the West next year, that's the beginning of a rivalry?
Absolutely. Maybe it began last night, guys.
Yeah, maybe.
But I absolutely can. It's like the old days when we would take those trips, and we were all traveling commercially, and we'd go from Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport to Grand Forks and then head on up to Winnipeg. Have that type of visit to up the corner of Portage in Maine, which I think that's a pilgrimage that you have to make at some point, Mick.
Yes, and maybe I dare people to do it in the winter.
Absolutely, yeah. Maybe we should do one edition of Hockey This Morning from that very intersection.
I'm all over
in
that.
Winnipeg next
Rossi's
year.
Like, huh? But then Rossi's from Ottawa. It's pretty cold there too.
Yes, indeed it is. It is. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the All-Star Game trip up there. By the way,
get your own long underwear now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk about the Minnesota Wild, you got to talk about the goaltending. Over the last few weeks, they've had Nick Backstrom. They have had Josh Harding. They had a 51-year-old Paul Deutsch for a warm-up.
Yes. And now, the first period backup.
That's right. And now Matt Hackett, who comes in there, and he's the third star of the week in the National Hockey League last week. I mean, these
I
guys
can't remember that happening, Mike.
You know what? And neither can I. I mean, I'm sure maybe a forward or defenseman, but a goaltender like that coming up as the third stringer, as Mick pointed out the other day, I mean, it's like the Minnesota Wild are a goaltending factory.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. And the sources are varied. First, you pluck Nick Backstrom from the Finnish Elite League. He was the guy who was the starter, by the way, in front of Pecorine over there on their team. Then Josh Harding, who, let's remember now, a few years ago they were wondering who's going to back up Nick Backstrom. Well, Josh Harding sometimes has been performing at a level above that of any backup. But then you have the two injuries, and I'm almost sorry Jeff Deutsch didn't get a chance to get in there. But
oh, sure.
He had to play a senior league game that night, guys. He had a 9:45 faceoff after taking warm-up with the Wild and sitting on the bench in the first period. So that was intriguing as well. And then Hackett was finally able to get in from Houston and get into uniform on time to be on the bench behind Josh Harding for the second period of the game that night. So, yeah, it seems no matter whom they have called upon, that person has been able to do the job. And Mr. Deutsch, by the way, is a good friend of ex-Wild assistant coach Mike Ramsey. And Mike told me the scouting report on Jeff Deutsch, should he ever come into play again, and the way the season has gone, who knows that it won't. He's a stand-up goaltender, and there's a reason for that. He can't get back up once he goes down.
Oh, okay. Old-style hockey.
Yeah,
then. Good.
Yeah.
Good for him. Now, a lot of games last night. One I wasn't able to watch, Columbus. Upends Vancouver in the shootout 2-1. What did they do right there?
Maybe the hockey gods were finally smiling upon the Blue Jackets as much as they have evidently been frowning on them. First, they got Steve Mason back in net for most of the game. He did have some leg cramps that had to get rubbed out, but he comes back in, and they were able to win in a shootout in their game last night. And on top of that, hey, it's against Vancouver. So let's apply illogic to this. If there is one team that you would think they would be least likely to break out of their funk against, it would be the Vancouver Canucks. Not the story last night. And then they tally their way through that shootout period and come away with the 2 points. And good for them, because here's another part of one of our topics, right? All the coaching changes that have been made. Where did we think the first coaching change is going to be made this year?
Yeah, well, that's in the discussion.
Yeah,
Columbus.
And they have held firm. And, you know, no matter what the reason might be, they have been playing much better, I'm going to say, the last two and a half weeks. They still are not doing that well in the standings. They're still looking to get to double-digit victories. They're one away now. But they do stand a point in front of the Anaheim Ducks, who have made that change. And I'm not saying that's for or against, but when you make the coaching change, there's obviously a reason, and it's not a bed of roses for any person to walk into.
Pete, we appreciate you dropping by, and we'll let you go have breakfast now.
No, I've already had that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, but it's time for us. Are we going to sing happy birthday to Terry Mercury?
No.
Okay, we won't. Just wanted to ask the question.
Just the fact you mentioned it's good enough.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Pete. Good to talk to you. We'll catch up with you
next
week.
Great talking with you. Take care, guys.
There goes Pete Weber.
Not what I expected.